This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay, so we're holding here Umesechtes Yuma, I think, right?
Yep,
Umesechtes Yuma. Umesechtes Yuma says, V'debartem bom v'loy b'dvarim acherim. By the way, just I guess Agav Urcha to what he's saying over here, I heard a fascinating, interpretation or pshat. There's a big tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael, Dov Yaffe. He's a mashkir, a kfar chassidim from Zikni Bala Musa, and some of his children on the Meyeshiva, they're head of Beis Medrash, whatever. And one of them was with me together in Eshat Torah. And there was a fellow in Eshat Torah who got married and decided not to speak any dvarim, any divrei chulin with his wife. You know, he was being makbin al tar b'sicha misha, and it created a bit of a rift. And I was very strong about him, that, you know, whatever. But he told me I was speaking to him about it, and he told me that his father, as a bacha, once came to Chazon Ish and told the Chazon Ish that he would like to make a campaign of a Dibarta Bum, that Yeshiva Bachim would speak only Divrei Torah Holzman or something like that. And the Chazon Ish didn't say it, didn't respond. The next time he came to the Chazon Ish, to Bnei Brak, the Chazon Ish took him for a walk, and he sort of schmoozed with him about the new housings and the roads, and, you know, stuff like that. When he finished, the Chazon Ish turned to him and said, Berale, Berale, Dov, in Yiddish, Berale. He said, Sichas Chulin is a human need. The trick is to know the measure of it, how much. In other words, conversation is not luxury. It's a human need to be connected to people. The difference between Sichas Chulin and Dvarim Mitalim is that Sichas Chulin means it's just not Divrei Torah, but it's necessity and normal human interaction. Dvarim Mitalim is when you have nothing better to do and you're just kind of chewing the fat, chewing the rag, or whatever expression you use to describe when a person is basically doing nothing with the speaking. I could put just a side point, not really his point. Now he explains what's the reason. Pirish. Ki ha'odom yoytze lefoil adeh dibur k'ma shizbayar. Dibur is something that brings out a certain nekud of the Adam. The Adam, let's explain this point. I don't know if we explained it well last time. You have Olam HaMachshava, HaDibur, and Maisa. Olam HaMachshava is totally bekoach. It's something which doesn't have any in itself. It's not really part of the physical world, so it's only potential. That's all machshava is. It's potential one way or another. The Rambam says that there aren't many mitzvahs associated with it. The other Rishonim ask there are mitzvahs, but the point is, it normally machshava for most inyanim is just the potential to bring out something. There are two eifanim in which a person brings out something. One is that the person brings it into Olam HaMaisa, and another one is Olam HaDibur. In our mind, Olam HaMaisa is by far superior. Tzaddikim are Omer Matvol Simharbe. We certainly don't have much sympathy for people who talk a lot and don't do much about it. So anything that needs to be done, certainly the saying I will do it is at best some sort of a chana, and at worst it's some sort of substitute. But what you're really trying to do is you want to bring it to Maisa. But there are many things, Lamash, like Divrei Torah and so on, where the avoda lies in concretizing the machshava by bringing it into Olam HaDibur. So a person had tremendous feelings of hakaras atov HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tremendous feelings of hishtoimimus at niflos abore, and so on. All of those, so long as it's in his mind, it has yet to be concretized. When a person says shira, when a person says tehillah, bakasha, when any time a person brings it into olam hadibur, that is actually concretizing it. There's one concretization when it takes on a physical avush. There's a second concretization when it takes on a fully expressed view. So in the world of the of Divrei Torah, it's like sometimes you ask a question, let's say like in class, and a kid will give an answer where you know that he understands the point and he understands what the answer is, but he doesn't say it right. And you value very much the one that says it with a certain degree of precision, that you actually have, it's actually, that is the machshava. It's come down in a very, very solid way, and I have it in the world of words. It's maila over the world of maisa. And again, we're not talking where you're substituting for maisa, but there are two avodos. There's one avodo to say to myself, this person needs help, and then you go and you help him, schlep, to pull, whatever it is. That is the world of maisa. There's another world where everyone has religious feelings. Everyone has all sorts of good intentions. But when you're able to put into words, then you have it in a much more real format. And that's why when a person feels kind of religious and feels good about something, it doesn't last much because it's not all that concrete. When a person is able to express it in dibur, in Wishira, in halal, whatever it is, that becomes a lot more part of the person's personality because there's a certain concreteness to it. It's concrete, it's solid, and so on. Now there's a second mila. There's a mila in that over the first one. First of all, those type of inyanim that can express itself in maisa are by nature more physical, simple activities, as opposed to those things where the primary avodah is expressed in machshava. That requires, those are usually abstract things. They're coming from, we'll use the term, a higher world, and bringing that down into some physical appearance of words, of svara, of diburim, is a big avodah. And that's why that avodah is so chashev. It relates more to Tzuras Adam in the sense that we're taking something that's very, very high up and bringing it down to words in our world. So there's a tremendous mila in that. There's another mila in Dibur, that Dibur is much, in a certain sense, you are retaining the original point much more than we translate to Olam HaMaisa. The Olam HaMaisa is, I went ahead and I helped a person, I don't know, put a roof on his house. I stood there and banged nails with him and so on. I helped him push something or lift something. So the machshava to that is a prompt. It's A caused B. So the machshava, by moving to the next phase, express itself in action. Diburim are the machshava. They're a machshava with the levush. They're a machshava using the words to express it, but there's something much more. I actually have succeeded in bringing down Olam HaMachshava itself into this world. I can talk about things that are abstract, and yet these words are part of our world. They're musagim that have become defined to some degree or whatever. So there are milas in bringing that out lefoa leidei dibur, and Adam expresses himself mostly. What's unique about Adam expresses itself mostly in dibur. So a balchai's machshavas are of a very simple and limited kind. There's food over here. Run to the food. Get the food. Bring it home. Scare off the predator and so on. Those are simple machshavas, and it realizes itself. So since the animal is a physical being, it realizes itself with the physical accomplishment. So when the animal is able to get food, stay away from predators and look for shelter, it's realized itself. It's fine. A human being needs to realize himself through koach hadibur, because what makes him uniquely human is the ability to be teifis, dvarim that are berumash olam, inyanim that are beyond. And inyanim that are beyond don't really have a physical expression, and their expression is simply the dibur that came out of it. So Adam is yotze lefoal aydei Torah. So, since the musagim that Adam was specifically created to translate into the musagim of our world are musagim ruchim. So therefore, it's only in Torah that a person realizes himself when there's dibur in dibur Torah. So I guess according to this, we understand the pasuk dibatam bum v'lo b'dvar macherim means that you as Adam should be speaking only dibur Torah, because that's realizing yourself. But Rambam zal be pesha prakim hu sheikh bin yad dibur. Pesha prakim means his pirish on Pirkei Avos. That's what he calls prakim. Hu sheikh bin yad dibur shtika vati shere. He has a long piece on dibur and shtika, and I will quote him, and he does quote him at length over here. I'm never sure, I guess the assumption was people didn't have the svarim. But he says like this, kishayar be... That the reason why you marbe chet with dibur is because most diburim are extraneous, they're really unneeded, unnecessary, and just waiting for trouble, so to speak. So he says, it's relatively easy to control your maisim, because it's something that requires some deliberation, some very very defined maisa. When it's diburim, there's no easy control it. So he says, "Kikeshe yir ba Adam dvarim yifshal kol panim, she efshes liyeh ba dvarav dibu echot shen roi la amroi." It's impossible that a person didn't add in one thing that's not roi la amro. Umimov se achachamim, it is a sign of a chacham, miyut hadvarim, speaking less. Umimov se asichlim, and it's a sign of a fool, roi vadvarim. Shem kol ksil. Old Chazal also say that a person who doesn't speak much is a miyuchas. Amru, they said miyuchas, the bubble shtikusa, that the fact that the person was shosek, he's not. It's a raya that he is. a miuchas. Now, over there, it's a little bit of a stretch because the over there we're talking about keeping quiet in terms of somebody calls you a pgam of some sort, you know. So I'm not sure quite what the tzushal is over there. It's something the there's a whole case over there. Somebody was, he called somebody else a name, and the question was, did he respond to the name or not? It's a good point about shtika, but it has nothing to do with shtika in general. It's a lot more very, very specific shtika. He says,
just a quick question.
Yeah.
Too much speech, the person kind of empties himself out, right?
Yes.
If there's less, it kind of builds inside. Could you be mataritz or something like that? But he held himself inside in a certain sense.
You're trying to respond as to why, even though it's talking about a case of yichas.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's the explanation? As what are you trying to?
I mean, there, what you said, the Gemara there is what, speaking about somebody cursed him, whatever, he didn't answer him.
Right.
What's the case?
I mean, he called him a name in terms of his yichas and so on, yes.
But the fact that he didn't empty himself out, he kind of, there's a certain containment of the mensch, you know, that's a certain mila. I don't really know how to describe that anymore, but that's what it seems to me.
Yeah. Could be. It prevails. The Rambam seems.
I mean, just from the other side, what does it mean? If a person talks too much, it's a certain zeal. I don't know what it is. It's an
emptiness because the dibur is no longer an expression. Let's give an example. A normal person will give a handshake and a hug to someone that he likes. A politician does it about 10,000 times a day. So for a normal person, since one doesn't go around normally just hugging people, I guess unless like a Kalbach person, that gesture is an expression of something. When a person just does it without, you know, a person gives you a compliment and you know his words are sparse, so he doesn't know, so those words mean something. The other person, that's the way he says. You say something, say, oh, how nice. It's wonderful, it's great, it's fantastic. It doesn't mean anything. So in general, that's very specific. In general, the burim are a shlemus of Adam if that's what the dibur is by the person. If the person is a talker, it means that he enjoys talking as an activity in its own, and not as, it's not expressing anything, because there can be just X amount to express. I had a neighbor of mine who, in Yisrael, he was a son-in-law by Nesiva Shalom, by Shom Nech, the Rosh Hashiva, Rebbe afterwards of Slonim. So he told me that, you know, they're Chassidim, so they go on short dates, not on long dates, not many dates. But he said that the Rebbe once told him, he heard that a Litvish Rebbe came to him and said he'd met the girl for 5-6 hours, and this question, that question. And the Rebbe was like, kind of, he said, you know, he doesn't know anyone who, if forced to speak for 5 or 6 hours, wouldn't start speaking Narishkeiten. He doesn't know the person who has enough chachma to keep himself going 5-6 hours of nonstop talking based on chachma. So yes, it's empty in the sense that the dibur stops representing any hotzol apol of machshava. So he says like this, most extra speeches become some dava asa. כי כשיער באודם דברים יפשל כל פנים, שיאפשר שלא בדבריו דיבו אחד שלו לא אמרי. If you talk at length, you're going to be saying something, inevitably, that you shouldn't have said. Umemovseh hachamim, it is one of the signs of a chacham, miyut hadvarim, less words. Umemovseh sichlem roiv hadvarim, shnem vekoil ksil roiv dvarim. Ukvam chacham right, shemiyut hadvarim raya almailas, yoysadim yuchas, amu yuchasas babash dikusa. Va'ama beseif hamidas, The word Sefer Midos, when the Maral quotes it, it means Arches Tzadikim. When the Rambam is quoting it, this is a quote from the Rambam in the first Pesach of it, Sefer Midos usually means Aristotle's Nicomedean Ethics or one of those. That's what Sefer Midos is. It's not. There's nothing else that he's referring to. And this is a quote from Rambam. Still quoting Rambam. So people inquired of him, "Why are you so quiet?" I've seen that words are divided into four categories. One is something that's all bad. When you say things that you shouldn't say, that are bad. It's good in some ways, it's bad in some other ways. So it should be kesheshavach adam echad. I have kesheba adam echad. I don't think it's right. I think it's kesheshibeach adam echad. The kavu to elis. You know what? I could actually look up in the Rambam. Pretty sure that makes the most sense. Bishvach, yeah, of course. Bishvach adam echad. The kabel bo te'elis, he is meshabeach a person for te'elis. V'hoye b'shvacha hu mashiach esoyne v'yazik mishashavchoy. And there are issues where it affects other people negatively. V'tzorach l'niach d'orom zeh b'gar asiba azoy shadavar zeh achele gamke. That's the type of diba that even though there's parts of it that are important, but there are parts of it that are damaging, destructive, and you need not to speak it because of that. V'achele kashlishi d'vorom she'in tolos behen. There are things that are parva. How do you build a wall like that? So there are many diburim, don't affect people, not positively, not negatively. Speak about it. To speak too much of it, so there's no tell us. V'chelak ravi dvarim shekulam te'elas kidvarim chachmes umaylas. V'dvar ha'odem mashu miyuchud boi min ha'dvarim shechayev tluyim behem ubehem yimashach metziusoy. Ubezeh tzorch ledabe. So there are things that a person can speak about what's miyuchud about the person. In other words, the spark of ruchnis that is the person. The burim of that is a to'elas. V'chol eish she'esh ha'dvarim, whenever I hear conversation, whatever, ani boichin oisam. I sit through it. If I find that these are words of Dibri Chachma, you know, like number four, then I'll speak about it. So the Chacham says that I will try to keep only to Dvarim that are pure type. And when they investigate, they found that he speaks 75% less than other people speak. And So this over here is the let me see if this is the Rambam or it's coming. This is the this is the Rambam continuing, where he's being misyachis to the words of Aristotle, I guess. He says, I divide into five. Hachelek harishon, v'anim shenichol lefi chiyotel hachol, mitzvah, nizhar, nimas, nehav, umuta. That which you're obligated, that which you want, that which is considered ugly, that which is loved, and that which is muta. Hachelek harishon, mitzvah, hi kriyas ha-Torah v'limuda, u kriyas talmuda. V'zuhi mitzvahs esei mechuyeves, v'dibarta bom. V'hi shkula, k'neged kol ha-mitzvahs. V'kva nema min azhara b'limud, mashalochus ha-achibu k'tzosik. So, the first one is pure Talmud Torah. A person is describing with his words in yanim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants and so on. That is that's mitzvah and that's chiyuv and so on. Then he says achelek hasheni wa diba ha-nesav and hizemenek edes sheket v'ashekir chesak v'aklola. These are all things that fit in the category that is asa. So you have chiv and asa. V'chelak ha-shlishi hu ha-dibo ha-nimas ashe'em boi. I'm sorry. If I nizer menu is eidah shekesh ilchilos klola v'divratari marimah ze'achelak v'chein nivlas ha-pev l'shahara. So these are all halachas. In other words, this category is a halachic category. Things that are asa. Now, besides halachic categories, hachelak hashlisha diba nimos, hashemah talsal minashle ba'avera, kiroiv sipa amoyin b'mashayir ma'ashahoya, umahim minhage melech ploini be'echoloi, be'echoi esibas movas ploini, o'echis asha ploini. Ve'elu kormos hacham sicho b'teilo. V'achasidim hishtadlu ba'atzal niyach z'achelak na diba. Now let's talk about this. This is stam very very. It's a very important distinction because today everybody goes by the book. You know, does it say it's muta? Does it say it's asa? What's the halacha over here? What's the marker? What's the this and that? There is no sense that there might be something beyond. If it says it's muta, it says it's muta. Don't get isurim on me that don't exist. There's no such issue. So where are you coming from? There is something which is mos. In other words, Torah itself has halachas. It also has an expectation that we extrapolate from the halacha to a world of ayete ben Hashem or not. To say that something fits the letter, but I didn't learn anything about the spirit of the law, means that I'm not a bardas bechlal. So if I tell you, let's give a weird example, but it'll fit. Let's say I have to buy a gift for somebody who's very very fancy, and I tell him, I warn him, listen, this person, you have to bring something from Saks Fifth Avenue, nothing less will do. I'm assuming that that's the expensive stores. I'm not quite buying a shopping one. So I go there, and I look around, the prices are quite stiff. And then I say, I got a great idea. I'll get a shopping bag that says on a Saks, and I'll bring him that. I mean, the person told me to bring Saks Fifth Avenue. So here we go. Yossel de Goylem, the Morales, the so-called Morales Goylem, you know, he did exactly as he told him. There wasn't anything more than that. Mos means that Torah itself through the different halachas, creates in me an aesthetic sense of what I like and what I dislike. Meaning what HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like. So if from the Torah's Kepeda that we need to speak, that Dibur is very, very holy, and it's very important, and it's got halachas of what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. So just like wasting my time or my actions runs contrary in a deep way to what Torah is and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be, wasting my words and just talking about something that makes no difference, and it's just talking incessantly about sports, about this, about that, the other thing, is also something which is most. So from the fact that the Torah gave halachas as regarding Dibur, one should be able to extrapolate that there's a chilek that's most, and is the derech hachacham, that one does not engage in dvar mu'usim. And the problem is today everybody has this thing about where does it say and who says, and you know, which shita and different shitas. It starts with what says, but it ends with what can you learn from what it says. And there's nothing here that, you know, we have to be able to say, what do we learn from these things? And that's called mos. So when people speak dvarim shel, they have no tachlis, they do not bring any chachma into the world, any understanding, any use or anything. V'nem, it says, al rav talmido shabchia, shaloi sach sicha betele miyamav. So it says that Reb Chiya never spoke a sicha b'teila. I once heard from Ramay Shapiro, he said on this Rambam. Now, the lashon of the Rambam is a bit different than he has it over here. It actually is. Let me find the Rambam here. I believe that it says in the Rambam we have, it says Rav Talmud Rabbeinu Akadish Shleisach Sicha Betelo Kol Yamav Vizu Sich Zoy Vadam. So I should ask, what's this Rav Talmud Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Like, if you don't know who Rav is, it's not going to help you, the introduction Talmud Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So what's this introduction Rav Talmud Rabbeinu HaKadosh? That's the question he asked. Now, the truth is very, very balabatish. I think there's a simple teretz. And that is, if it would have just said Rav, I would think it means a Rav. In other words, if the Rav says Rav, I wouldn't be so clear to me that it's referring to the Amora called Rav. So that's simply, I think that's the most pashta reason why it says Rav Talmud Rabbeinu HaKadosh. But Ramesha wanted to bring out one or two points, which I think were very good. One is that it's Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he was called Kaddish because he was not nene from anything in this world. In other words, everything in this world was a pu'ula of mitzvah. There wasn't any waste in his maisim. Rav Moshe specifically was speaking at the time about Keri, and Leroy Keri, that Rabbeinu HaKadosh was called Kaddish because he was very nizer in the Yanim of Kedusha, and he had a whole maracha about how Sicha Betela is similar to that. The point is, there never was any Inyan of Chulin that he was engaged in. I think there's another Knech also. The Rambam writes in his Akdamah to Birsha Mishnayis with tremendous hispilus that the Mishnah was written by Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who was a phenomenal man, Talmud Chacham, and didactic of mitzvahs, and you know, the Rambam is very extols him, and the Rambam says that his knowledge of language was extraordinary. And it's one of his primary abilities that made him royal for that is his knowledge of Lashon HaKodesh. And he says, the riot that is, that it says that when people didn't know what a word meant, they asked Amsa de Be'rab, that Rabbeinu HaKodesh is Shifcha. In other words, Rabbeinu HaKodesh was such a big grammarian, a linguist, that even his Amma, his Shifcha, was also fluent in it. So it's not just a question of poetic beauty or great vocabulary. He was able best to express in Dibur things that had been much more vague. The writing down of the Mishnah required a feat of taking things that were Torah Sheba'al Peh and bringing it to Torah Sheba'al of some sort, requires a concretizing things in words that would carry on. When I explain something orally to you, I'll never explain it twice the same way. And if I feel that you're not quite getting the mechuvin, I will sort of shift it a little bit, the explanation. But when it's written, it's written, it's written. It's frozen, it's solid, that's it. So Rabbeinu HaKadosh's godless was this absolute command of language and so on. The Rambam, as a matter of fact, when the Rambam writes in Mishnah Torah, he writes that he's going to write the Sefer using Lashon HaMishnah, which is, in fact, it is, because Biblical Hebrew is not developed enough to be able to be used in a Halacha Sefer. It also, you know, it's not a Halacha Sefer, so you'd have to put it in a very different configuration. You have to put it in a different frame of words. Gemara is very verbose, and it's also a mixture of a lot of languages, and that's also not suitable. It's deficient in precision and in choosing words. So the Lashon HaMishnah is the Lashon of the Rambam, so as being perfect. And you know, it's the language of a person bringing out divrei Torah, divrei Chochmah, into words. Yes.
Maybe would do anything to get a pirush of a word, right?
Yes, well, over there it's a pirush of a word.
He would be mevazeh himself, he'd do anything, even though he was a great man, he'd like do a dance, there's a Gemara something like that, yeah?
Okay.
I think he would do, he says, I forget who it was, but he said, I'll dance in front of you if you'll explain
yes.
to me.
That's also, yeah. Okay, that's a bikusha emes and so on, correct?
But that's also maybe because his whole thing is to be moitzi something perfectly the pearl, so he had to know what everything meant exactly, so he could write it down, or he had to understand it correctly, so he could write it down correctly, or something. I don't know.
Yes, I mean, everything about him, the Rambam writes extraordinarily, with extraordinary sweeping compliments, that this, he was the person who was roy for that. So this fourth category is fascinating, and let's take an example. If somebody comes and says, "Is it appropriate to cheat on an exam?" Let's say, and I would think about it. Let's say, and I would say no. So, it doesn't require more than no. So now you know that it's not appropriate. But that you, that will not deter all that many people from doing what they shouldn't do. So I sit and I talk to a person. I say, you know, there's a bunch of the world. There's a Yom Adin. A person's maisim are going to come, and he's going to realize that many things that he thought that he accomplished are not, because it wasn't honestly done, and so on and so forth. And I'll talk a lot about it. It's not that I'm adding a terrible amount of information that the person didn't know, like the Ramchal says, but Dibur itself has a koach to help me actualize things and prompt me to do things more than simply idea. So by telling him it's usur, he has the idea. He's already learned a while back that there's a Bnei Shalom. He's also learned that there's Yom HaDin and also this. So presto, if it was a computer that was fitting information in, with that would be over. Computer would say no, and that's it. But it's a person, not a computer. And a person needs to be nimshach with diburim. And when you speak divrei piyusim or divrei toichacha or divrei something, the koach of the dibur itself, just like dibur is able to take a machshav and express it in a tangible form, it's able to take machshavos and to be the tool to prompt the person to action. So yes and no on themselves do not really prompt a person to action, but when there's a lot of diburim with it, appropriate diburim, they do prompt a person to action. So diburim in the sense that they bring a person to do good, keep a person away from doing bad, is actually very positive. And finally, chelik ha-chamishi, which is the chelik that's mutter, is dibur b'mashem yuchad me'adam mischayrosi panasosi macholei mishto levusha shama shetzorach lai. V'mutter in abu imos, you know, things that you need. Abu yirtzi dabu imashe yirtzi mirtzi lo yidabu. Ubozeh chelik yishu b'cholim kushimai et ha-dibur. V'yishira anshe musa Okay, we'll hold it here. Any questions?
I just asked about the third category.
Yeah.
So he's talking about, let's say, how something is built, or how a person, you know, let's say, a history about a certain kingdom.
Right.
I'm assuming that's only. That's only if it's just because you just want to gossip or you just
correct
chatter. But if you're actually interested in chachma, learning, you could learn history or you could study economics.
Yes. But if if the history focuses on the quote unquote the human interest, what garment did he wear and this and that? Of course, in understanding how people have acted in societies and what drove them to success and to failure and so on, that's chachma, and that certainly would be appropriate. When people love it's like a newspaper, when a gossip column of sorts. What was Obama wearing and what was his wife wearing and and this and that. That belongs to that category.
Right. So it's a sensitivity of what's considered, what's true chachma and what's just
true
tabloid, just interest.
Yes. Okay. Take care. Good Shabbos. Bye.